This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles & Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
This is John Williams for the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. I'm very happy to have in the studio with me today Tom Wilkins, who's the head of the Half Moon Bay Kariwa Sister City Association. That's a mouthful, but what it means is we have a sister city, Kariwa, on the west coast of Honshu in Japan. Did you know that? It's very similar, as Tom will explain, to our own community, and this is how we have the so-called ambassadors represent Half Moon Bay in Japan. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, John. Great to be with you.
So how did this program come about? It has a very interesting provenance. I just want to say that you yourself have an incredible international background, having lived 10 years in Japan, as well as Bahrain, New Zealand wife, many others. Not many other wives, but many other connections.
International experience.
International experience, should we say. So please go ahead and tell us about how this program got started.
Great, John. Thanks for having me. My wife and I and our young child, our first son, who was born in Japan, moved to Half Moon Bay in July of 1989. I have a deep love for the country and its people, and I thought it would be a great thing to do. In fact, I had sort of called it my dream to establish a sister city relationship for Half Moon Bay in Japan. So it was kind of a long process. We look at demographics such as like population, like industries, like physical geographical entities. So we look at Half Moon Bay, it's on the coast. We look at Kariwa, it's on the Sea of Japan. We look at industries. Kariwa is largely agricultural, with the very famous peaches that they produce, and also rice. They grow premium rice primarily to brew sake. Half Moon Bay, as everyone knows, is famous not only for pumpkins, but for Brussels sprouts, artichokes, and so forth. And also both have a fishing industry. So those are the kinds of demographics that we look at when coordinating a sister city establishment.
Excellent. Now, the student ambassadors, as you call the fortunate people that go over on the exchange, are selected how?
They're selected through a committee that we have, our board, and the process begins with us contacting the counselors and some of the teachers at Half Moon Bay High School and Pescadero High School, and telling them that we have an opportunity this year, for example, of sending student ambassadors to our sister city in Kariwa. We give them applications to distribute to students. We get a pretty good turnout of people that are interested. Some of the criterion that we look at are the students' interest in international travel. Many of the students have had international travel and have been exposed to things international. If they have experience in Japanese or have been to Japan, that's a bigger plus. We don't require Japanese language skills, although that's a plus. But you'd be surprised at how many students have an interest in Japan through things like manga and other arts and music kinds of things. So when we established the relationship in Kariwa in 1992, we started with an art exchange, not a student exchange. And we did this through Hatch Elementary School and Kariwa Elementary School. And we had two people on our committee who were flight attendants that traveled to Tokyo once a week, every Friday, on a flight out of SFO. So we coordinated their flights with projects coming out of Hatch School, and they took them and handed it off to people at the airport in Tokyo. They took them up to Kariwa and collected art projects that we could display, and many people listening, I'm sure, will remember that we displayed those in the Half Moon Bay Library. So for the first 3 years, we didn't do any student exchanges. That didn't start until 1995, when we had the signing of the Affirmation Proclamation on Pumpkin Festival, October 13th, 1995. So our official 30-year anniversary is this year.
And you hope to celebrate this with a new garden at the Half Moon Bay Library. Full disclosure, my wife is the garden designer working on this project.
Yes, that's going to be sort of the capstone for the 30-year relationship, John, if we can get it to happen. We've worked closely with Allie, who is John's wife, as he mentioned, who's a master garden designer. She's come up with some really great ideas, which we've all endorsed so far. We're just going a little bit slow, deliberate in the step-by-step things we have to do to get this done. But yes, stay tuned for that.
That sounds very zen.
It will be. It will be.
So back to the students. How many are selected in a given year?
Typically two. And the typical pattern has been every other year, where the opposite year that we send students, the subsequent year, we accept students from Kariwa. But for the last several years, because we missed during COVID sending or receiving anybody, so we've tried to catch up by doing it every year in both directions. In fact, right now we have two of our student ambassadors in Kariwa, Bella Piercy and Evelyn Brown, who are both soon to be seniors at Half Moon Bay High School, and they are finishing out their three-week stay.
Are the costs covered for their flights, etc.?
Great question, and yes, they are. Through independent donations and Coastside Gives, which has been a godsend for us over the past several years, we're able to give a stipend which covers all transportation, both on the ground in Japan and the Trans-Pacific flights.
Given the length of time this program's been in existence, can you cite any particular individual that's gone on to do great things as a result of the program?
Well, there's more than one, but the one that sticks out, John, is a girl that we sent in 1996, so 29 years ago. She, because of her experience, and I'll say it's a life-changing experience for all of the students, they see their own lives and the world through a new lens after this experience. So that's one thing. The girl that I'm referring to came back, majored in Japanese and law at UC Berkeley, and became an attorney and was hired by a multinational company to represent them in Japan. So she's doing law, and, well, I don't think she's still there, but when she came back, she worked in Japan as a lawyer.
Kind of flipping the coin here, if you will. When the Japanese students come here, is there anything that sort of strikes them remarkably in terms of cultural differences, and, well, vice versa, are the Half Moon Bay students going the other way?
When the Japanese students come here, for all of them, it's been their first time, and they are wide-eyed, dare I say, because everything is so big here. There's so many people and so many different types of people, and so conversely, that brings me to the Japanese people, and one of the things that our students recognize when they go to Japan is that Japan is a largely homogeneous nation where Japanese are the only citizens. Mm-hmm. An example of this will be when my wife and I had to go get our driver's licenses in Japan. We did the test and did the driving, and of course the driving's on the opposite side like it is in the UK.
Yeah, the right side, left side.
The correct side.
Correct side.
We were struck by, when we got our actual driver's license, that there was no place for designating color of hair and color of eyes. Why is that?
Fascinating.
Because every Japanese has black hair. Every Japanese has brown eyes. So they don't even have a spot on the driver's license. So that's one thing that's
an education
notice
in itself. Yeah. Cross-cultural communications. Wow. Phenomenal. It's a parent out there, or in fact a student that would be interested in this program. How would they contact you, Tom?
The best way is to contact us through our website. It's rather long, so here it is. HMB Kariwa, and that's spelled K-A-R-I-W-A, HMB Kariwa Sister City Association. com.
And, of course, folks, you can download this MP3 from this interview and then play it back if you want to get that URL. But we'll give it to you one more time. It's the Half Moon Bay Kariwa
SisterCityAssociation.com.
What a fascinating program and such an incredible opportunity for students to go get a slice of life in another culture entirely. So, Tom, I want to thank you very much for coming in. And this is John Williams with the KHMB Feature Story of the Week.
A special thank you to contributor John Williams for our Feature Story of the Week. And thanks to Tom and everyone making the Sister City program a success. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson. And now you are invited to take a seat in the KHMB Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer for a trip back to 1969. Another exclusive of your hometown station, 100.9 Coastside Radio. Your community, your voice.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710 and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
I am Cindy Chong, and I'm the owner of Coastside Tax Consultants in Half Moon Bay. I just want to say that I was so lucky to find Rachel because I called her office, and right away she came and told me what they do, and I was so impressed. It took me a while to find an IT person I would call, and nobody would get back to us. You know, several companies we would call. I was so happy to find her.
CMIT Solutions, providing local friendly IT specialists who are close by and ready to protect you from network breakdown or cybersecurity hacks. For more information on how we can be of service to your nonprofit or business, visit us at CMITSolutions.com or call us at 650-770-0258.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
1969.
We have now arrived in September of 1969. What were things like in Half Moon Bay this time back in 1969? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, Mansous County, $25,000 for false arrest. A marine biologist working at the College of San Mateo says he was falsely arrested and seeks $25,000. Jeremy Smith of Montero says while in court for driving violations, he was arrested for having a suspended license and taken to jail. Later, authorities admitted they had made a mistake. Plan to divert water to Southern California could affect Half Moon Bay. According to Congressman Jerome Waldy, a key feature of the state water project diverting more water to Southern California will affect Bay Area water quality and affect the amount of water going into Crystal Springs and less water to be available for the Coastside. Opening of a motel and restaurant at San Gregorio on hold until a water sewer problem is solved. County supervisors have delayed action on a request for a motel and restaurant in San Gregorio. The delay is over where to put a required septic tank. And now, for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. A sad note. Many of you know our pub mascot, Winston, as beautiful little multi-poo dog. He was 14 years old and a mainstay at our pub, even with his own bar stool and name plaque. My mom and dad got Winston when he was just a few weeks old, and he was an instant member of our family. So many people would come to the pub to pet and just visit with Winston daily. After 14 fun-filled years, Winston has crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. He's now up in heaven with my dad, Alan. So it's my dad's turn to watch over our precious little dog, Winston. Special thanks to the Half Moon Bay Veterinary Hospital for handling this very sad time for my mom, Adora. They were so sensitive and compassionate. We really do thank you. Keep calm and Canine On. 1969 marks one of man's crowning achievements as American astronaut Neil Armstrong becomes the first human to set foot on the moon and utters the words that one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. The opposition to the war in Vietnam increases, with more demonstrators demanding that the U.S. withdraw. Richard Nixon becomes the president, and Golda Meir of Milwaukee, Wisconsin becomes prime minister of Israel. Hurricane Camille hits the Mississippi coast, killing 248 people. How much are things costing us in 1969? With an average annual income of $8,500, you can buy a new house for $15,500 and a new car for $3,200. Gas to runner, get this folks, 35 cents a gallon. Significant live music events, Atlanta International Pop Festival with 100,000 in attendance and Woodstock that draws 150,000. Popular films include The Love Bug, True Grit, Easy Rider, and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. In popular music, this group was formed in El Cerrito, California, and hit gold with their very first professional recording. Now, just 1 year later, they have climbed even higher, going platinum. Here's Creedence Clearwater Revival with Bad Moon Rising. Singer has incredible staying power, having started producing hits in 1956. He also has great crossover appeal with both country and pop music fans. And sure enough, this is number one country and number one adult contemporary in September of 1969. Recorded live at San Quentin Prison, here's Johnny Cash and A Boy Named Sue.
Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I'll tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. Roamed from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and stars, I'd search the honky-tonks and bars and kill that man that gave me that awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I'd just hit town and my throat was dry. I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. At an old saloon on a street of mud, there at a table, dealing stud, sat a dirty mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew that snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture that my mother had. And I knew that scar on his cheek and his evil eye. He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold. And I said, my name is Sue, how do you do? Now you gonna die? Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah. He said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now, and I wouldn't blame you if you do. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your guts and the spit in the eye, cause I'm the son of a bitch that named you Sue. Yeah, well, what could I do? What could I do? I got all choked up and I threw down my gun, called him a paw and he called me a son, and I come away with a different point of view. And I think about him now and then, every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna name him Bill or George, any damn thing, but Sue, I still ain't that name.
Join me again next time for another journey and another year on the KHMB Time Machine. I'm Cameron Palmer. Thanks for listening.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710 and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
What do men and women, whether young or old, have in common? It's the need for a good haircut. And the stylists at Today's Haircuts 101 Main Street are dedicated to helping you to look your best. Today's Haircuts is open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6, with no appointments necessary. Wednesdays and Thursdays, seniors receive a $2 haircut discount and a free shampoo. Today's Haircuts, good haircuts at good prices. Today's Haircuts is located at 101 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Their phone number is 712-8191. 712-8191.
If I could talk to the animals.
It's time for Pet Patrol. Everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the Coastside. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
I'd like to share an interesting article about deer by Susan B. Kelly with the Peninsula Humane Society. Most people associate deer with the forest or other rural or semi-rural areas. In San Mateo County, people expect to see deer in the watershed area, on skyline, or on the open spaces along the coast. But in fact, deer can be seen throughout our county. Take a drive down 280 in the early morning or evening, and you're guaranteed to see deer grazing up on the hillsides, if not along the freeway itself. Very observant people notice that which deer they see depends on when they're looking. In the winter, herds of deer made of does, fawns, and bucks usually forage together. Come spring and summer, when the females have had their young, you primarily see only the bucks grazing in the open. If you are fortunate enough to live in an area that has mature landscaping, you may also see does with their fawns in your yard. Each year, the Wildlife Care Center receives dozens of calls from people who think they have an abandoned fawn in their yard or have seen one on the side of a road. Our advice, barring any obvious signs of illness or injuries, is to leave the animal alone. It's not uncommon for a doe to leave her fawn for 12 hours, jump in the yard, nurse the fawn, and leave once again. If a well-intentioned individual brings a abandoned fawn to the Humane Society, we generally return the baby to their original location. 9 times out of 10, we find the doe there looking for her youngster. Occasionally, however, we do receive a true orphan. These we send to a specially trained volunteer who raises them. When the fawn becomes self-sufficient at 5 months of age, we release them. Deer can become very imprinted on people, and our caregiver must take special precautions not to let the animal become attached to her. While fawns are undeniably cute, they are wild animals. They appear very gentle, yet are quite strong, and have been known to injure people who try to restrain them. Adult deer are able to outrun a predator like a mountain lion or a coyote, or in the urban or suburban setting, a domestic dog. Most deer herds in residential areas are accustomed to our daily movements. They know which yards have dogs and which have the best ornamental shrubbery and fruit trees. They quickly learn who is leaving out food for them, a practice the Wildlife Care Center strongly discourages. Leaving food out for wildlife can draw too many animals to one area, making them dependent on the food source and a potential nuisance to neighbors. In areas where deer are numerous, including the hills from Redwood City to San Bruno and the entire south end of the county, drivers should stay alert day and night for deer crossing the road. For the most part, deer seem to know when traffic is most active and are pretty wary when out on the street. But come August, the bucks throw caution to the wind. This is when the rutting season begins and the male deer have other things on their mind. Once they get the scent of a female, they simply follow their noses, often charging onto our highways and byways. Consequently, more deer are hit by cars during this short 2-month period than the entire rest of the year. The number of dead deer the Humane Society picks up off the road reaches its peak. Once the season ends, the deer settle back into their herds and continue the daily business of survival. Some people delight in the presence of their local deer. Others consider them nothing but a destructive nuisance. The bottom line is we have moved into their territory. The animals have learned to coexist with us, and now we must learn to coexist with them. We have manipulated the environment in such a way that the area can support far more deer than it did when covered with only native plant life. So what can we do? First, accept the fact that deer and other wildlife are here to stay. Learn about their behaviors so you have a better understanding of what you can do to discourage them from coming around. If deer live in your neighborhood, be cautious when driving or riding a bike, for your own safety as well as for theirs. Landscape with plants that don't attract deer. Try different deterrents and fencing to keep them away. One of the most promising devices is a motion detector sprinkler that senses movement and sends out a stream of water that frightens the animal away. There are several helpful publications available, too. Gardener's Guide to Preventing Deer Damage, available from California Department of Fish and Game, and Wild Neighbors, the Humane Approach to Living with Wildlife by the Humane Society of the United States. This is available through bookstores. Each year, PHS receives calls from people who want us to remove the deer from their neighborhood along with raccoons, skunks, and opossums and take them back to the watershed where they belong. Well, this just isn't possible. First, the law forbids relocating healthy wildlife. Second, it just doesn't help. These animals are not from the watershed. They were born and raised in our neighborhoods. Moving or trapping an animal out of an area only opens up a space for a new one to move in. Animals move in and stay in an area because it offers food, water, and/or shelter. Our best advice? Removing what is attracting the animals, and in time their numbers will decrease. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts and Kibbles Pet Care.
if I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHMB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets@khmbradio.com. Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coastside. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
Serving the neighborhoods of the coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710 and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Welcome to Keeping Pace with Your Health. I'm Gail W. Dale of Fit Holistics, and this week we're discussing a hidden enemy lurking inside many of us, visceral fat. It's not the jiggly fat you can pinch. It's the silent, dangerous kind that wraps around your organs deep within your belly. And while it's out of sight, it's definitely not out of mind for health experts. So, what is it? Why is it so bad? And what can you do about it? Let's find out. Think of your belly as a bustling city. You've got your essential buildings, your stomach, liver, and intestines. Now imagine a hostile takeover, where this greasy yellow fat starts building its own chaotic skyscrapers around those buildings. That's visceral fat. Unlike subcutaneous fat, which sits just under your skin, visceral fat is metabolically active. This means it's not just sitting there, it's constantly releasing molecules called cytokines and hormones into your bloodstream. These chemicals are like little bombs, creating chronic, low-grade inflammation throughout your body. This inflammation can damage your arteries, increase insulin resistance, and wreak havoc on your metabolism. Over time, this quiet chaos significantly raises your risk for serious diseases, like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, some cancers, and even dementia. You can look thin and still have a dangerous amount of visceral fat. It's the ultimate sneak attack. When we return, I'll give you the best tips from health experts on how to melt away visceral fat. First, a word from our sponsor, Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Hi there. This is Dr. Brian Shepherd from Shepherd Family Dentistry. Did you know about 25% of America suffers from obstructive sleep apnea? They suffocate in their sleep. I started self-treating my own sleep apnea about a month before I met my wife. I wear a mouthpiece that stops my snoring and keeps me breathing all through the night. Now, if I don't wear my mouthpiece, my wife kicks me out of bed. So if you want to stop snoring and keep breathing, come on down to Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. Phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Welcome back to Keeping Pace with Your Health. I'm Gail W. Dale of Fit Holistics. This week we're talking about the potentially horrible health effects of visceral fat. The silent, dangerous kind of fat that wraps around your organs deep within your belly. The good news is you're not powerless against this invisible foe. Here are five science-backed habits to help you fight back. 1. Exercise your way to a smaller waistline. Regular aerobic exercise is a champion fat burner. Aim for at least 30 minutes of moderate intensity cardio, like brisk walking, jogging, or cycling, most days of the week. This not only burns calories, but also directly targets visceral fat. The key is consistency. 2. Prioritize protein. Increasing your protein intake can help. Protein requires more energy to digest and keeps you feeling full longer, reducing your overall calorie intake. It also helps preserve muscle mass, which boosts your metabolism. Think lean meats, eggs, beans, and lentils. 3. Cut back on sugar. Sugary drinks and processed foods are a direct pipeline to visceral fat. Your liver processes fructose from these foods, and too much of it is converted straight into fat. Swapping sugary sodas for water and avoiding excess sweets can make a huge difference. 4. Don't skimp on sleep. Chronic sleep deprivation throws your hormones into a tailspin. Lack of sleep increases the stress hormone cortisol, which tells your body to store more fat, especially visceral fat. Shoot for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night. Think of it as a nightly reset for your body's fat-fighting hormones. And 5, manage your stress. Just like with sleep, high levels of stress cause a surge in cortisol. Finding effective ways to manage stress, whether it's through meditation, yoga, or spending time in nature, help keep those cortisol levels in check and prevent your body from holding on to that dangerous belly fat. Remember, the battle against visceral fat is an internal one. It's about making small, consistent lifestyle changes that benefit your health by exercising, watching your diet, prioritizing sleep, and managing stress. You're not just losing a few inches, you're building a healthier future. I'm Gail W. Dale of Fit Holistics, and that's all the time we have for today on Keeping Pace with Your Health. Join me next time as we explore another vital aspect of your well-being. Until then, remember to take good care of yourselves, inside and out.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
Serving the neighborhoods of the Coastside, this is KHMB, AM 1710, and 100.9 FM, Half Moon Bay.
Father Carousel! Father Carousel!
Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's. Good food and good times for the entire family. And now your host for Coastside Carousel.
Listener-supported community radio for the Coastside is KHMB. And welcome to Coastside Carousel, the show that's by and for local artists along the Coastside and the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live. I'm Mike Dale. Support for Coastside Carousel comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, the only true British pub on the coast and voted one of the top 8 pubs in all of California. Welcome to the 6th annual Alpacas by the Sea Harvest Festival on Saturday, October 4th. It's an artisan and music festival on Kenny and Victoria Hibbets' famous alpaca farm in Monterra. 15 local bands play on 2 stages. It's a day of music, artisans with local exhibits, and, of course, libations. We'll hear from promoter Kenny Hibbets at the end of the show today on his love for music and giving back to the community while benefiting Second Harvest Food Bank here in the Bay Area. It's a total win-win. The event is free for anyone who wants to go with a suggested donation to benefit the food bank. Each year, Rich Pearsall of Studio E in Monterra produces an album of those artists. The CDs will be available for sale on Harvest Fest Day, along with commemorative T-shirts and art. And over the next month of Carousel Special celebrating this year's Harvest Fest, you'll hear many of those tracks from the CDs. Let's begin the music celebration with the Trey Fabs, who play what they describe as smart originals and classic rock covers. The band is composed of longtime Monterra resident Rick Mixter, the chief singer-songwriter and quite a poet, Wally Rutherford on drums, Gil D'Aliso on bass, and Joey Diamond on guitar. Recorded at Studio E in Monterra, here's Nothing Is Nothing.
Why me, not some other guy? And we're stubborn.
myself to die. Took a walk across the sky. Now each one's wondering why.
Why me, not that other guy.
And we're stumbling down this road.
Home to heaven.
This rigmarole, but you don't move on till you stretch your soul. I guess Jesus loves me, I sure hope he knows. I'm trying to be good even if it don't show. Nothing is nothing and I guess that's fair. 7 come 11, got to take that dare. But my feet are bare. Got my can of beer. I don't care. Yeah, nothing is nothing. So I call that square. But I'm watching the sky for signs up there. Feeling like a $100 millionaire. Standing here in my underwear. I meet myself and I took a walk.
It's a month of Coastside Carousel, celebrating the local artists featured in the Alpacas by the Sea Harvest Festival on Saturday, October 4th in Monterra. There was the Trey Fabs. Up next in our special month-long celebration of the Harvest Festival is San Francisco's Taya Gherkin, a friend of Mark Ostrava here on the coast. You can catch him at Alpaca Barn from time to time. Taya is a veteran finger-picking style solo guitarist who artfully blends a repertoire of classical, jazz, and Celtic into melodic gems. This one's called 1111 on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Radio for the Coastside, KHMB, 100.9 FM and AM 1710. A month of Coastside Carousel celebrating the local artist featured in the Alpacas by the Sea Harvest Festival, Saturday, October 4th in Monterra. You'll find that track as well, Taya Gherkin, on the Harvest Fest 2025 CD that you can buy along with t-shirts and other swag to benefit Second Harvest Food Bank. Moving right along, next up is John Lester. You've yet to meet him on Coastside Carousel. I will schedule him in the coming months as I'm learning his catalog now. John is an award-winning singer-songwriter bassist from San Francisco who has one foot in the folk, rock, acoustic world and the other in jazz and improvised music. This one's a beautiful ballad called I Saw You on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
It's the sweetest love. that's the sweetest. It's the sweetest. Lord, it's the sweetest love of all. Well, it's the sweetest. It's the sweetest. In a world that's full of strangers, so quick to turn the pages. I was just a solitary till the day I met you, baby. Found my one and only lady. Look at Andy in the corner, he ain't never found a lover and he don't know why. Others never find another, cause the dogs just give up on trying. Find new ways to make it better, cause together it's the sweetest love of all. Yes, it's the sweetest. It's the sweetest. Lord, it's the sweetest.
Radio for the Coast Side is KHMB at 100.9 FM and AM 1710. A month of Coast Side Carousel celebrating the local artist in Alpacas by the Sea Harvest Festival on Saturday, October 4th in Monterra. And there is a fan favorite, Mondo Stereo. All the artists I played today and over the past 3 weeks, you can find on the Harvest Fest 2025 CD produced by Rich Pearsall at Studio E in Monterra and for sale on day of the Harvest Festival. I'm Mike Dale, and as promised now, Kenny Hibbets is the founder with his wife Victoria of Harvest Fest, and this is the sixth year. I asked Kenny to give us a take on how he started the festival and what it means to him and his family and giving back to the community of the Coast Side.
Well, the opportunity to give back something to the community is really what the Harvest Festival is all about. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to find a way to support the Second Harvest Food Bank. So everything that we generate at the Harvest Fest goes directly to them. And what's exciting about it is that last year we raised over $10,000. Second Harvest told us that they're able to produce 20,000 meals. So when you think about the impact that that makes on Bay Area families in a challenging world that we live in, where it's very expensive to get food, their membership has grown dramatically. So this is a tremendous way for us to give something back. You know, each year it gets a little bit bigger. And so this year we're starting out a little earlier, and the music starts at 10. And we've divided the day up into a couple of different segments. And we start off with what we're calling the Monterra Mountain Morning Coffee House. And we'll have some great musicians kicking that off. But we'll also have Sage Bakehouse there providing some great food and coffee to get you started. And then we're going to segue into the middle of the day where we move into what we call the Electric Lunch, which is some great rock bands. And everybody knows about Monterra and that famous fog. So we have the Monterra Chill-In, which is coming throughout the middle of the day. We got some great bands there where friends get together and hang out. And then we finish that with the Monterra Madness Happy Hour, which is, anchored by Slack Tide Currents and closes the day with Mark Weezer and the Lucky Dogs. So it's really going to be a great event. We're looking forward to everybody coming out and supporting the community. And remember, it's always about giving back to the Second Harvest Food Bank and giving where you live and supporting the local community for those that are in need.
Thank you, Kenny. and thank you for everything that you do, and of course all the local artists along the coastside who chip in to make this a better place for all of us. Really, really appreciate it. That'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support our local musicians, the Bay Area bands who visit here to play live, and the wonderful music venues along the coastside. We are blessed with a rich tapestry of vibrant music. If you're a local band who writes original music and you want to be featured on the show, email me, mike@khmbradio.com. I'm Mike Dale. Stay in tune and be well on your carousel.
On the carousel. On the carousel.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artists of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Today's revisionist historians claim that George Washington was a deist, yet this completely contradicts historical fact. George Washington's religious habits were commended by numerous eyewitnesses. In fact, so well was his faith documented that monuments both at Valley Forge and at the U.S. Capitol memorialize him kneeling in prayer. Perhaps those who have come to believe that George Washington was a deist should remember the words of his adopted daughter, who declared, "I should have thought it the greatest heresy to doubt his firm belief in Christianity. His life, his writings prove that he was a Christian. Is it necessary that anyone should certify his belief in Christianity? As well may we question his patriotism." We can't question the patriotism of George Washington, nor can we question the fact that he was a Christian.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.